what would you call that color?
Coral tomato.
A coral tomato?
Yeah, or a coral orange.
A coral orange, yeah.
Actually, I went to Hebrew school with a coral orange. I don't name coral orange.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Coral orange. Oh. You could tell me I'm a really gullible person.
No, I can tell. But we've got to get this on tape.
Well, I think we might
be. Magic. We're getting all this.
I think we are. I think
we
are.
We're getting everything right now. Yeah. But we just have a lot of background noise.
So, guess what, everybody? Guess who's here tonight in my creepy home?
It's the boogeyman.
RuPaul! Sorry, did I say that too loud? Well, first of all, yeah, I'm incredibly gullible. You just told me that you went to Hebrew school with a girl named Coral Orange.
And another girl named Rose Gold, actually.
And Rose
Gold. We were best friends. Yeah.
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 Yeah, and I believed you, and you really, I'm incredibly gullible.
I think all the stories are sort of true. You know, all the stories keep life more interesting. You know what I mean? It's the only way I've been able to survive this life is to have little stories, have play on words, you know, tickle, tickle, wink, wink, walk, walk. Otherwise, it's just too dreary, you know?
That's a good way so I should just start making up stories.
Why not? Why not?
I should. You know, I have this scar on my arm, and I've never been brave enough to say that I was in a knife fight. It was just like a benign tumor that I had removed. There's nothing dramatic about it.
Yeah. Well, who won the knife fight?
I think she did. She did.
Those girls in Baltimore are really tough.
Yeah. You know it. Did you do a little research?
No, it takes, you know, waiting at the stop sign, I figured you were from Baltimore. But do you have a Baltimore accent?
No, not really. But I moved from Baltimore when I was six to north of Seattle.
Right. Is there an accent from north of Seattle?
Not really. It's apparently we have what's called the broadcasting accent.
Oh, I love the broadcasting accent.
So it's very, I guess, undescript.
I wish more people had the broadcasting.
You do?
I really do.
It's really unoriginal.
Well, because today everyone speaks in upspeak and then the vocal fry. Yes.
Okay, do you want to hear my vocal fry?
Let me hear it.
Okay, because then will you do it?
I'll try.
Oh my God. So literally I was at the Coffee Bean and I'm not even kidding. This girl came up to me and she was like, "Oh my God, your hair is so thick. Do you have extensions?" And I was like, I wanted to be like, "Fuck you." Because I do have extensions, but why the fuck would you ask me that? That's something I would volunteer on my own, but I don't know.
That's good. That's really, really.
Will you do it too?
My vocal fry. I'm going to try to do the vocal fry and add the up.
Is it
called up talk?
Up talk.
Up talk to it. Well, I was going to the Coffee Bean and I ordered a coffee and I went to pay. Truthfully, everybody talks that way. That's why I wish everyone spoke the way they do in Seattle, because it tricks my brain. Every time someone does the upspeak, it tricks my brain into saying, uh-huh, yes, uh-huh. Actually, you know, my partner is Australian, and part of their culture is to speak, you know, in upspeak.
Right.
It's like part of what they do.
Right. So, which is like gaining acceptance. It's like, it's like saying, you know,
yes.
You're with me,
you're
right?
You're exactly right. But see, you know, I think that women today, they've done that because it's kind of like a disclaimer.
Yes.
There's this book by Maureen Dowd called Are Men Necessary? And it talks about, it chronicles the feminist movement and what happened to it. And basically, she says in the book that these women, they fought, they got there, and they said, "This shit is hard. I've got my MBA. I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to let him do the work." And you see him around New York pushing these huge strollers with a cell phone and a huge venti latte in their hands. And they're really, really, really educated, evolved women, but they've gone back to being like housewives, right? So I think that the Upspeak and the Vocal Fry are disclaimers so that they don't intimidate other women and that they don't say the wrong thing. Because if you have a thing, say, I went to the Coffee Bean and I got a coffee,
right,
and I paid for it.
Right.
That's different because then you're open for a comeback. You know what I mean?
I completely agree. And I think that it's a form of, when you speak sort of in that way, it's a lack of emotion. So you're distancing yourself from what you're saying. So it's kind of a form of protecting yourself.
Exactly. It's kind of scary though, because where does it go? I mean, a few days ago there was the Women's March, and you think about what would it take for there to be a real equality? I mean, and are women ready for that? Everybody says they are, but are they really willing to let go of certain things so they could have another thing? Because it's balance. And
I would love to think so, but you know, you're right. I mean, it's in wanting it all. I mean, the idea is incredible. I want it all.
Do you really want it all, though?
I do. I do. I think I do.
But you know, there's a price. You know, for
everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, oh, my God. I pay the price in guilt. I do.
So you do know Rose Gold. Did you go to Hebrew school with her?
Oh, I love her. Love Rose.
See, you know what? I got to tell you, I don't want it all. I want some things, yeah, and I'm willing to pay for them, you know.
Like what?
Well, you know, I want to be able to move freely. I want to be able to go and be to myself, you know.
You mean in the context of fame and...
Oh, just as a human, mm-hmm, as a human. I do this terrible thing where I like to isolate, you know, and it's not a good thing. And a lot of times I will inadvertently do things to allow me to isolate.
Like what?
Like talk shit about people. You know,
you think that's interesting. You think that that's a form of isolation?
Yeah, well, the talking shit about people and complaining about the world is a way to justify going and isolating. You know what I mean? I want to, you know, talking shit about the world. This is effed up. You know, L.A., the traffic. You know what? It's effed up. You know what? I'm just going to stay home today. I'm just going to stay home. I'm going to do my thing. I don't want to go see people. It's a way of justifying isolation behavior.
Right. You know? But is that a bad thing?
I think, like everything, there's a balance. You know, yeah. I spend a lot of time by myself, and I enjoy spending time by myself. But I think...
Me too.
There's a price. But you got kids. You have no children. You can't spend time by yourself.
No, it's really hard.
Those days are gone.
It's true. It's really hard. And I also, you know, I feel like I wouldn't call myself completely agoraphobic, but I definitely have, I hole up.
Yeah.
And
well, you got lots of liquids here. As soon as I came to your house, people were offering me so many liquids and waters and things like that.
That's all we do. We do.
And these people, you've got like a house full of people. Are these people always here? All these people?
And they live in my attic.
What about the people who live under the stairs? Are they?
Yeah, there's a couple of them. They're still under there. If you hear clawing under the floorboards, just ignore it. Okay.
So sometimes you like your agoraphobia, but there are always people here. Is that correct?
No. Well, now that I have a kid, yes. But I like to, you know.
Do you know who the father of the kid is?
Barely.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
Still, yeah.
Yeah. Murray. You got to call Murray.
No, I love to like close my bedroom door and binge watch, you know, Netflix and read or take a bath. I didn't grow up with a house full of people. Mm-hmm. I had that kind of house. I have great parents, but it was never the social house. Mm. You know, we always went to other people, mostly because my mom never had any junk food in the house. She always had health food. And
were they hippies?
No, they just, they were actually, they're very liberal politically, but they're very conservative, you know, so with like pop culture. Like I wasn't ever allowed to watch MTV. I wasn't allowed to watch TV. And my parents were very like afraid of me like growing up essentially. Huh. And so, especially as I became an older teenager, terrified of of my sexuality. And,
wow.
And
brothers and sisters?
You have an older brother.
And did you ever see your parents naked, or did you ever get the idea that they were having...
I love that this turned into my... I love it. I mean, you ask fascinating questions, and I love talking about myself, but I feel a little guilty.
No. This is my what I would normally do. This is how I am. I'm interested. But you know, I think when you see your parents naked, and when you know that they're actually getting it on, it actually helps.
Oh yeah, but I'd never really. I mean, and they have a very loving relationship, but
are they still together?
They're still together. But it was very important to them that I remain a virgin till I was married.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And
did they ever really talk to you about sex? Because I went into the world, I knew nothing.
So your parents never talked to you about it?
My parents were horrible hillbillies who just, they were awful. They were absolutely awful.
Is the hillbilly, is that why you like Wyoming? Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah, uh-huh, right.
But... what do you mean?
Well, they were country people. I say hillbillies, but they were country people. They're both from Louisiana, different parts of Louisiana. And they were just scared. You know, with color folks and the slave mentality, you grow up with a fear of everything, right? So, you know, and first of all, they didn't know anything. My mother was much more punk rock and anti-establishment. So that element of my personality I got from her. But my father was traditional, country folks, you know, and didn't know a lot. Was his social circle really was his inner family, and he had come from a family of 14 brothers and sisters, so they all kind of stuck together. And I was just an oddball out. But most of the things I learned the hard way, out on my own, bumping my head up against...
Were they strict with you?
I wouldn't say they were strict. My mother and father split up when I was 5. They divorced when I was 7. And then my mother decided, talk about agoraphobia, my mother, when I was 7, went to her room for about 2 years and didn't come out.
Wow.
She had a real emotional breakdown because of the divorce, right? So my older sisters became my parents.
Right.
And they're 7 years older than me. And that was great because we were ripping and running the streets, going and dancing and having fun and all that kind of stuff. And so in terms of sexuality, I didn't learn any of that stuff from them, from my parents, you know, being a little gay boy. And I was, you know, but from the time I was a child, I could listen and see. People said, oh, you are a sissy, honey. You know, 7 years old. Oh yes, honey, you are a sissy.
Did you get bullied?
No. It's too cute. I was too lovely. No, it's honest to God truth. I was never bullied. I was nothing like that. Let's talk shop here. You know, the truth is, and this is not ego talking. There is a kindness and a non-threatening element to my personality.
Yes.
Nobody messed with me.
I love
that.
They
were always sweet to me, and I was a sweet kid.
Yeah.
You know? And so, that never happened. But I left my mother's house when I was 15 and moved to Atlanta, Georgia. And that's when that was my bar mitzvah. That's when I got to experience life for real.
Yeah. That must have been... such a 15 to make that kind of move.
It was the best thing. We don't have any commercials to break for. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. It was, you know, and I look back, I'm 56 years old. You know, I look back and I think I have had been so blessed the whole time. I've had angels around me guiding my way every step along the way. You know, we talk about this a lot. And when I went to this hippie high school in San Diego, and this girl said, you know, Rue, you have angels, everyone has angels all around them at all times, but because you have free will, they cannot intervene unless you say 3 simple words, please help me. And that's when they can intervene and swoop right in, just like a police raid on a bunch of hookers, you know?
Yeah.
Once she accepts the money, that's when the police can jump. And you know this, right?
Of course. Been through many a raid.
But it's true.
I would be the worst hooker.
Well, you know.
I can't negotiate.
I'm a lazy lover. I would show up in this. Like, what do we do now?
Well, it's just like that. Well, you know, that's when you ask the angels to help you. And it doesn't, it's not just for, you know, dates on Santa Monica Boulevard. It can be for anything. At any time, you can ask for help. And there are, actually, when you lit the candles at this beautiful table, I asked if we were going to have a seance.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, there is, I was always conscious of a spiritual world. Was that something that you grew up with? Your parents were atheists.
Yes.
But did they sort of nurture a spiritual life, any type of meditation or yoga?
No. That was all
devil's work.
No, was it? I grew up in, my dad is a sociologist along with my brother, my grandfather and great grandfather. So there was very much a removal of an analysis of trending kind of behavior. There wasn't much embracing of, and also the idea of, like, if you went to therapy, that meant that you were really messed up. So it came as a shock to me when I moved here and so many people were in therapy. Or embracing of trends. Mm-hmm. That was something coming from Seattle to LA, like, there was always the next new trend that people were hopping on board with, and I was very cynical about a lot of that stuff. But no, my parents were they were traditionalists. They're sort of traditionalists.
Where are they from? They're from Maryland.
My dad taught in Maryland, but they both grew up in Seattle area too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they just didn't go far from anything, did they?
Uh-uh.
But it's interesting, though. I mean, if you come from an academic background, you know, I think part of that mindset of studying psychology they're more analytical. I think if you study human nature, you have to be aware of there being a spiritual sense, something. I'm not talking about, you know,
they took us hiking
religion
all the time. They there was a deep appreciation of nature, and I think that was we were always like every weekend we would do family hikes, and appreciate, you know, the mountains and the forests, and, you know, learning the names of trees and, like.
How much older is your brother?
He's 3 years older.
Oh, that's not much.
Yeah.
Do you like him?
I love him.
Really?
And we get along great now, but I think he'd be the first to admit that we spent a good decade hating each other.
A decade? What?
Yeah.
What? When you were how old to how old?
Probably from when I was about 9 to early 20s. And that was sort of when I started acting too. So a lot of the family life started to revolve around my acting a lot, doing a lot of theater in Seattle. So, you know, my parents would have to drive me every night to my performance. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of
animosity.
I think so. I think, and you know, and we just, we fought a lot, and he's a big dude and I was always really little, but I think there was a lot of competition between us. But like siblings. But now I'm so grateful because we're so close, and I just love him dearly. And he's dedicated his work as a sociologist to the studying of bullying in schools. Hmm. And he's done a lot of really interesting and groundbreaking work on the trends and patterns of bullying in group networks, and some of his stuff is really, it's fascinating. But apparently what he's concluded is the top 1% of the social hierarchy, but in the bottom 1% are the least likely to bully and to get bullied. Hmm. It's the in-between crowds,
right,
that are vying for social status and anyway.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And power, but I mean, I think it really gets down to power. It's like, you know, sexual assault is not about sex; it's actually about power.
Right.
And you see, even in all cultures, where you see graffiti or kids who get into gangs, it's because they want to know that they exist. You know, on Twitter, kids always write to me and say, "Follow me, notice me," and it's like,
yeah.
"Hun, my noticing you will not matter until you notice yourself."
Yeah.
And you can't tell them that. They don't know that.
Right.
But I think there must be a way you can instill that in some young person before they have to find out the hard way.
Right.
I would think.
You're so right. Like, in order to be heard, you do have to kind of hear yourself and figure out who you are. I mean, and you must get this all the time. When I was a kid, an adult would ask you what you wanted to be when you grow up, and you would never say, "I want to be famous." And now I hear that.
Did.
But now I hear that so frequently.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, well, okay, but for what?
Right.
And what? What's your passion? What?
Right.
What's your drive? What would you like notoriety for?
Right. Well, that's the currency of today. That's the cash currency is fame, because they see it in reality TV shows, and it could happen overnight. But then they don't think further into, what happens after that. Because after you get famous, it's even harder to keep it up. I got to tell you, just to get out of bed in the morning, sometimes, you reach the fame, and then you have to maintain it. Then you have to be interested in it, mm-hmm. and then you have to keep doing something that keeps you interested in doing it. You know, I've been doing this for 35 years.
Yeah.
35 years crawling up on stage for the dollar.
Yeah.
For the coin, the topic of coin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, and there was a time when I didn't want to do it, but kids today, I don't know how it's going to change.
I don't know
what's going to happen.
I don't know either. That part of it, because I love playing characters and I've always loved acting, but the fame part, I think, Chris and I, we both grew up basically in north of Seattle, and which is pretty, there's a lot of really grounded, I don't know, kind of salt of the earth type people up there. But I think that we've really kind of struggled with the fame element is something that we've haven't necessarily adjusted to very well. And he's, much more, he's like now, this a huge movie star, and it came so rapidly. But yeah, I think that it's just not the element we wouldn't go walking down Robertson Boulevard for kicks.
Right.
Or whatever. Like I like to hide behind my characters.
Yeah.
But that's why doing the podcast has been kind of wonderfully therapeutic and liberating for me too.
Right. Cause you get to get out, you get to actually have a social life and have a connection with the people out there.
Yeah.
Because the thing about doing drag is it's like being in a character, and because I'm actually an introvert masquerading as an extrovert. And I can turn the extrovert on. I've studied people. I know how to do it. But we started this up. I much prefer being on my own, being by myself and doing my own thing,
When I was a little girl, my dream was to move to the Yukon and just live in a cabin. It really was. I really liked being, I didn't have that many friends. I played in the woods all the time by myself. I played imaginary games like well into high school.
Wow.
Just, by myself. And
were there mushrooms involved?
That came college. Uh-huh. That was college.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I lived in my own brain, and I didn't feel a lot of connection with a lot of the kids in my school, and I also didn't know how to integrate myself into.
Were you bullied at all? Did the kids make fun of you at all?
Yeah, yeah. But I did ridiculous things. I mean, I went through a period where I wore a Christmas tree skirt.
Gorge.
As a cape.
Nice. I love it. It's fabulous.
I pretended that my retainer talked to me, that my retainer was smarter than me. Like Kit from...
From Knight Rider.
Knight Rider.
And how old were you at this point?
13? The retainer was 13. And the Christmas tree skirt was late freshman year.
But you were aware of being weird. You wanted to.
But at the same time, I desperately, like, I would never, I had too much pride to admit it. It felt like my only option.
Right.
Because I hated myself for wanting to fit in so badly.
Right. And by going the opposite way, you didn't have to fear them rejecting you.
I did this crazy thing with my bangs all during eighth grade where I just took this one strip and I hairsprayed it down. And I just wore it like this, right in the middle of my forehead.
Yeah, like
that
a cowlick down the middle.
Weird.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just
it's
bizarre.
It's kind of good. Well, you can carry it off. Yeah.
Well, maybe. Thank you. You're the most generous person I know.
No, it's true.
Listeners, I have a small strand of hair right down the middle of my forehead. And I used to hairspray it down.
It's like an extended widow's peak.
Yeah, it's just weird.
What kind of music were you listening to then? First of all, what was the first unit of music you bought? Now, of course, I didn't say a CD. I didn't say like a single. I didn't say a 45.
Oh, it was a cassette.
It was cassette.
Sure.
What was it?
Can't remember. It was either Whitney Houston, the album where she's bald. Do you know what I'm talking about?
That's
the
her
big
first
one.
Album. Well, no, her first album, she's not bald. She's got her hair slicked back. That's
that
the Whitney. I think it's called Whitney.
Songs were on that album?
That's got all the hits. That's her debut album that has You Give Good Love.
I want to dance some.
No, that's called, that's the Whitney album. The first is called Whitney Houston. The second is called Whitney.
And she wasn't bald. She just had her hair slicked back.
Oh. And she's outdoors, like near a waterfall or something. And she's got a peach over the shoulder storyline.
Yep.
You Give Good Love, How Will I Know? Yeah, all of that. So that was your first.
That and probably Cyndi Lauper.
She's So Unusual or the next one? She's So Unusual.
Yeah.
It was the first one.
But I had to listen to it in private because my dad's really big into music. He knows everything about music.
You're kidding.
And he never ridiculed me, but I knew that if I liked anything poppy, like New Kids on the Block, forget it.
Because he was into jazz and stuff?
Jazz, experimental music, classical music, a lot of rock from his time.
Yeah.
He would make me like read Bob Dylan lyrics as he put it on his record player. We have a garage filled with records that makes my mom crazy.
Oh, he still has those records.
Oh yeah.
I live for music. Music is my life.
Okay.
We have a special treat for you later, by the way.
Okay. Does it involve, do I have to take my clothes off?
Maybe.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Promises, promises.
All right. Well, should we get into... By the way, Sim, I'm sorry we've been dominating.
No,
but
this is perfect. I love this. I love not talking. I just want to listen to you guys.
But I love it when you talk.
Oh, thank you. You're
Sim
so
is
sweet.
Over there. Sim, what's Sim short for?
Simran.
Simran.
Yes.
Oh, that's like the Decameron. No, Simran. That's in movies. That's in like
Indian name.
Yeah. What does Simran mean?
We talked about this before. I think it means repetition of God or repetition of someone's name. I'm not exactly sure, and I should have looked it up after we talked about it before.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I think.
Simran.
Do you remember what you did when I said repetition of God?
God, 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 God.
You remember?
Stupid joke.
I love it. Well, my first, we'll ask Sim this too. My first unit of music, it was a 45. I'll say it, a vinyl. It was a 45 of the Spinners, Could It Be I'm Falling in Love, which is a great big song. It's a great song, big song. And then I remember in 72, I bought an album, the soundtrack to the movie Cleopatra Jones, because I was obsessed with the movie Cleopatra Jones starring Tamara Dobson. I spent the summer up here in LA in Cerritos with my father, and we went to some store and he allowed me to buy this album. I think the album was $3.99, and I loved it. Those were my first. What was your first unit of music? What was it?
I remember this. Actually, it was when I lost my tooth and the Tooth Fairy gave me a cassette of Prince Purple Rain.
Whoa.
Which is still one of my all-time favorite albums.
And it surprises me that your parents, well.
This must have been 1984.
84, yeah.
That shocks me, knowing your parents.
Well, they had no idea. And Purple Rain was the very first R-rated movie I saw. The very first pair of breasts I've seen on TV was Apollonia.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm just so shocked that your parents...
Well, they knew I was obsessed with Prince, but they didn't know what it was all about. They didn't know, they didn't really monitor what I was watching or listening to, which is great.
Do you know was...
Which
was
great.
The 45...
They're just like, this seems popular. We'll put this under
this
pillow.
They just wanted to please me, sure.
The 45 of When Doves Cry, the B-side of that. Do you know the name of that song?
No.
The B-side. It wasn't on the album, and it's one of my... probably top five favorite Prince songs. It's called 17 Days. The 45 of When Doves Cry, the B-side of the 45, I should have said that right, is 17 Days. And it is so fabulous. So fabulous. We could probably play 30 seconds of it if I find it in my phone.
I'll find it while you guys...
Yeah, you find it, and we can play 30 seconds before we get in trouble with Warner Brothers, I think.
It's called... What is it called again?
17 Days, Sim.
17?
17 Days.
17 Days.
Sim.
But weren't those the days when... And I still listen to a favorite song over and over if I get obsessed, and then I kill it, which sucks, because then, But those were the days... when you could listen to an album like 300, 400, 500 times.
Well, because you didn't have that many to listen to. And you know, you didn't...
But they also
moved you
a different way.
But you weren't distracted by all these other things. You know, I was just working on some music, and I came from the studio with the guy I work with, one of the guys I work with. He is so much ADD. It is crazy. And it's funny for me to watch. Since I grew up as a pot smoker. I haven't smoked in almost 18 years, but... I was a wake and bake smoker for... That's 17 days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll play 30 seconds while
30
you guys
seconds.
Talk.
Are you timing it?
Yep.
Okay, good. Because we don't want to go over 30 seconds. Because, hot.
It is.
Yeah.
I've heard this song. This is great.
But I still want to hear you. Hear about your pot smoking days.
We're dancing.
Did you start smoking pot early?
10 years old.
Nice.
Oh,
that's all we get.
Oh my God, it's so good. 17 days. I smoked pot when I was 10 years old, and I smoked for 30 years. And
but you were very productive.
Sure, yeah. No, and you're absolutely right. But I'm the kind of person, I'm not ADD. I am a chill person. So one thing at a time. That's the kind of gal I am.
God, so, I envy that.
Really? Are you ADD?
I think so. I have a lot of issues with that.
Do you drive with the phone and all that stuff?
No, because I'm a careful driver, but I like to do a lot of things at once. I get lost in my own brain way too much.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a little hamster in there sometimes.
But when you're acting, you can't do that. You're super focused.
Yes. Which is, I think, why I need it.
Yeah.
And, I have the radio on, the TV on, and reading the newspaper and doing laundry at the same time.
Wow.
Which is odd, because I used to be so comfortable alone and in my own brain, and I still love it, but now I get a little more consumed with... My own brain tortures me a little bit more, as I don't know if it's getting older or I have no idea what it is.
It tortures you so you feel like you want to drown it out with all these things?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh.
Yeah, I have trouble just
being... Well, maybe you should start smoking pot.
Maybe that's a great idea.
You know, with this current political climate, I feel like I picked a great time to give up smoking pot. You know, I picked a great time to stop huffing glue.
Okay, now I'm going to do a segment called, we can call it Not So Rapid Fire,
okay.
but it could be rapid fire if you'd like.
All right.
It can be your choice.
Good.
Okay. Who would you rather have as your Uber driver while stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic, Vladimir Putin or Bill Cosby?
Oh, I would go with Bill Cosby.
Okay.
He ain't gonna mess with me. And yeah. You know,
you think Vladdy would?
No, it's not that. It's not that. It's that I like to ask people questions. I like to interview people. So at least with Bill, we speak the same language. You know.
Right.
And have you ever been to Moscow?
No.
There's a certain harshness that I'm generalizing. Don't hate me. But the culture has been through so much that there's a certain distrust that a lot of people have, and rightfully so, because their culture has been through so much. So, and I like an openness.
And some cultures, too, are a little more adjusted to, like, almost like agreeable argument, argumentation.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm not comfortable with
hostility.
Yeah.
And confrontation.
And just being able to brush it off.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, I'll hold on to it.
Yeah.
I will key your motherfucking car.
Yeah.
I certainly will.
Okay, so Bill. All right.
Yeah, I'll go with Bill.
All right. Okay, what is the one beauty product that if you ran out at 1 a.m., you would break into Target to get?
Oh, serums. You know, I'm on the whole serum kick.
Oh, okay.
You know, I love, it's called La Mue. It's L-E-M.
Your skin is beautiful.
Thank you.
L-E-M-I-E-U-X.
And it's made in Pasadena.
What does it do?
It's this beautiful, they have several different of them, but it's a serum. You know, for years, when I was 10 years old, my mother said, Rue, moisturize, moisturize, moisturize. And I did forever. And then about a year and a half ago, a woman I worked with said, you gotta try this serum. So I moisturize my whole body, but now after I get out of the shower, I put on a serum all over my head. Because I don't have any hair, so I put it all over my head. But they have a collagen thing. They have something called the is it called? It's you know, they have all these special names. But serums, it moisturizes a passe sim.
Yeah,
it's all about.
So you don't
serums.
Use a serum. You don't use a serum and a moisturizer.
No, I just use the serum on my face. Now I moisturize my whole body. But only the serum on my face.
And what do you do with your body? I'm serious.
What do I use? The moisturizer?
Yeah.
I've been lucky enough, even with makeup, wearing makeup for years and years, my skin is not very sensitive. So I can wear anywhere from some Vaseline to the hotel scented lotion. I can do any of that. And it's never bothered me.
Okay.
Yeah. But which one did I use today? I used this Vaseline in heavy duty moisturizer because of the dry. Well, it's not dry right now, but usually I do that.
Okay. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in. Okay. Who do you think has a better chance of winning your show Drag Race? Chris Pratt or Sim Sarna?
Well, I'm going to say Chris, and I'll tell you why. No tea, no shade, Sim, but Chris is a natural born fool. Because it's all about getting in there.
Gotcha.
And just going for it. And that's true with all of life. We are looking for people who can just go for it. And I'm telling you, that can take you so far in life. And actually, first vision that came to my mind was your husband in the movie Wanted.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes. And he's letting a fellow actress have it, shall we say?
Uh-huh.
And he's going for it.
Yes.
He's going deep. And in a way that you wouldn't think a camera was there.
Right.
And that's what we're looking for in a queen.
Okay, well, I can try.
You're right. He is remarkably fearless on camera.
Yeah. It's all about being fearless. And, you know, we talked about your brother studies bullying and all that kind of stuff. You know, we didn't go that deep into it, but I have so many theories on that. I love in movies where they tell the kid who's being bullied, you go over there and you fuck them up. Who cares? Who cares what happened? But just don't allow that to, suggest the course of your life.
Right.
Because it can.
Well, that's what happened to me. I was an easy target because I didn't ever do that.
Right.
Like, so, and bullies are like bulldogs. Like, if they have a bone, they are going to chomp on that. But like they sense
yes.
a weakness
yeah.
and they will hold on to it. But my outlet at least was acting outside of school. So school was just something I got through.
Right.
I did my chores. I hated it. I hated every fucking second of it. But I got the chance to do theater outside and work with adult actors. And that was how I survived that time
sure.
period.
It's, and it's a big F you to all those kids at school too, because you yeah. were doing your thing. And where are they? They're you know, cooking crack in some meth lab in Northern. It's
there's
true.
A lot of meth up there.
There really is. There really
there's
is.
A lot of meth up there.
I know. My goodness.
Do you want to just see the last one?
I do. Do you mind?
Go for it.
I know we're running long. Okay. But you're just so fascinating. Okay, so you decide to leave Hollywood to pursue your true passion of rehabilitating inmates through the arts. Mm-hmm. You volunteer to direct the spring musical at San Quentin State Prison.
Uh-huh.
What musical would you pick?
It would be Annie Get Your Cum. It's a great show. It's a great show.
Annie Gets Your Cum.
Yes.
I love it.
I'm looking for stars.
Yes.
Stars, stars, stars.
Oh, maybe you could give the warden like a little like...
That's Daddy little... Warbucks. Yeah. No, actually, that's a different musical.
It is.
You know, we could do a mashup, though.
Yeah.
Of Annie yeah. Oakley and Little Orphan Annie.
Yeah. Well, the Annie songs are great.
Yes, they are. Oh, wait, stop.
It's a hard knock life.
Oh, wait a minute, stop. Michelle knows this. My favorite all-time favorite show tune is... It's the Hard Knock Life.
Of course. It's a hard knock life for us.
It's a hard knock life for us.
Instead of kisses,
we
get kicked. Instead of
kisses, we get right, yeah. kicked. Something.
That was great.
Wait, how about this? Santa Claus, we never see. Santa Claus, what's that? Who's he?
How great is
what
that?
Is it? Wait, I used to know the... Pull the whiskers from her chin. Stick her with a safety pin. Make her drink a Mickey Finn. We love you, Miss Hannigan.
It is my favorite all time.
Oh,
and
it's
Michelle
so good.
Will tell you, Michelle Visage just walking in the room, but I just came out to her about, it's been about 6 months maybe, 6 months as a theater queen. I was always ashamed of it. I told her this. She's a big theater queen. The biggest. And, you know, I had, because theater, music theater people, there was always this, they put on this air. It was, darling, I was doing Twelfth Night in Poughkeepsie. You won't
yeah,
believe
right, yes.
what happened. And there's this, what
there
is
was this? A standing ovation.
Standing ovation. And, that thing. And I was always put off by that sort of preciousness
yes.
that theater people have.
Uh-huh.
So I never wanted to admit to being a theater queen. And so until 6 months ago, I came out. I said, yes, I'm out. I'm proud. Take me to the theater.
Wow. Well, let's do Annie together sometime.
Oh, I would love
that. But who do you want to be? I'll let you get first choice.
Oh, well, I don't want to be Annie. I'd want to be the bad couple. What are they called?
I
want to play both. But the man and the female. Or Miss Hannigan is the best role,
Miss
isn't
Hannigan,
it?
Yeah, she's pretty great.
Yeah.
Little girls everywhere I look.
You're a theater queen?
No.
No. You don't see shows? You're not going
I
to
I love see... going to see shows. I just don't
Because Fun
get
Home,
it.
Is it Fun Home? That's coming to L.A.
Okay.
When's it coming? February 3rd? 21st. Fun Home. Have you seen that in New York?
No.
When's the last time you were in New York?
Oh, a long time ago.
Really? Because you have a kid, you can't...
Between all the stuff, it's just hard to get... I haven't gone to a restaurant in a really long time.
You're kidding. Do you cook at all?
I do like to cook.
And the kid who's in the kitchen, is that yours?
That one's mine.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Do you want to just go to the last new segment?
Oh, there's a new segment?
Yeah,
oh.
We're going to start it. Do you want to do the last one as well?
I do. I just want to do the last one.
Oh, okay.
We have two callers. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You find out that Gwyneth Paltrow is a huge fan of yours, which she probably is, and wants to interview you for Goop. She invites you to get a geisha facial with her. Do you know what a geisha facial is?
No. Is there an anal option?
There could be.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The facial is actually, this is a true thing, is actually made of bird feces.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
Are you game? Would you do that?
No. Not because of the bird feces. That doesn't scare me.
Okay.
Gwyneth does.
Okay. Okay. All right. That is fair.
I'm not that girl. You know what I mean? You know, actually, I interviewed her once.
Really?
Her with Tom Ford. And this is 1997. At the Fashion Awards, I was working for VH1. Not very nice. You want to talk about bullying?
Yeah.
You want to talk about bullying?
A little bullying?
You know that girl, she's that girl. That girl that you think she is, she's that girl. And he is too.
From afar, she's very intimidating.
Not really intimidating. You just know that girl. You know her. You know what she is. Actually, you know, I'll never forget. In 1976, there was a girl at my high school at Northside School of Performing Arts in Atlanta, Georgia. Her name was Shauna Glass. I went up to her and I said, Shauna, can I ask you something? She said, the word is ask.
Oh, Shauna.
Shauna Glass. And I never said axe again, but you better believe Shauna Glass's car was keyed at the end of that day. You know,
I'm going to glax you, Shauna Glass.
No, but you know that girl. You know that girl.
Yeah.
And I have no time for that girl. Life is too short. You know, it's just have fun. And I don't like pretentiousness. I hate pretentiousness. That's why I didn't want to admit to being a theater queen, because I didn't like all the pretension and preciousness.
I love you.
Do you?
I love you.
Well, now because you're not a Scorpico, you are a Vegetarius.
I'm a Vegetarian.
Yes. Yes. But we get along. I'm a Scorpio.
Okay.
I'm November 17th. You're November something.
29th.
Yeah. We get along.
I have a lot of great Scorpio friends in my life. And I was supposed to be. I was 3 weeks late.
Ah.
But I'm a Sag. And I think,
You mean Vag. You're
I'm
Vag.
A Vag. Uh-huh. I'm a Vag. I like that. I like that. Now, who is supposed to be your ideal partner?
Cancer, Virgos. Michelle's a Virgo, and most of my friends are close friends are Virgos.
What about your partner?
George is Aquarius, and we get along swimmingly, beautifully. I'm Cancer, Vegetarius, and I think Capricorn also.
Oh, did we have?
Yeah.
Oh,
the last thing we have it. We're good.
Oh.
Do you want to do it?
I do want to do it, but I really want... Oh, really quickly, can we do the... If Sim and I... This is really putting you on... There's a couple things on the spot. If we... Can you give us drag names?
Oh,
sure.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Sim Sarna is his full name, and I'm Anna Faris.
Okay, you would be Shim Shim Cherie.
I love it.
Yeah.
Shim Shim Cherie.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm writing it down.
That's great.
And Anna, your name would be Anna Get Your Cum.
I was thinking earlier, what was, oh, labiana. I also thought
labiana.
Labiana.
Oh, I love that.
Because I talk a lot about my labia all the time.
That's great.
Labiana, but I do like Anna get your cum. Anna get your cum.
Can we get a hashtag going right now? Like a... Yeah. Anna, hashtag.
Hashtag Anna get your cum.
But it's more like
I don't know why that Michael, like, Annie, are you okay? Anna get your cum. Get your cum now, Anna.
Anna get your cum. Anna get your cum. It's like a Slavic name. Anna get your cum.
Anna get your cum.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is Anna get your cum. I'm Anna too.
Yeah.
Labiana. Anna get your cum.
Yeah. No, it's great.
Anna get your cum.
It rolls off the tongue.
Hello, I am Anna get your cum.
Anna get your cum.
Anna get your cum. This is my friend Vladimir Putin. We are going to we are driving you to the Rainbow Room. Welcome, RuPaul. Anna get your cum. I like that.
No, that's what makes life worth living. I honestly, it's the turn of a phrase. It's not pretentiousness. It has nothing to do with goop or bird poop.
This is my friend Shim Shim Shari. He's Vlad's bodyguard. Shim Shim Shari always is packing.
No, wait a minute. Shim Shim Shari, is that from Mary Poppins?
Isn't it?
Oh,
right?
Yes. Shim Shim Shari.
Hey, yeah.
Or is that the girl? Is it the other one?
Shim Shari.
It's Mary Poppins or? Is it Mary Poppins? Or Mary Poopins? We'll call it Mary Poopins.
Okay, now it's torture time.
Okay,
new segment.
New segment.
Yay! No music? You guys don't have a...
We'll put some in post.
All right. Taking her headphones off and standing up.
So it's called Torture Time with Anna Faris.
Okay. All right. Torture Time.
Right behind you, you'll see a sparkly red guitar.
Oh, yeah. It's a guitar. Yeah. How about that? Oh, and I get to put it on?
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
We are going to have you...
Wait. Into the mic, Anna.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yep, I'm putting the guitar right down here.
It's out of tune. I don't know if you play. Doesn't matter.
I'll go for it. Yeah.
You were so willing for torture time.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay.
All the worst things, once you pass 40, all the worst things that could happen to you have already happened.
I love that.
It's true.
I need you in my life all the time. I do. I want you to put serum all over my face.
Anna, get your cum.
Yeah. Anna, get your cum. Sim, will you explain what's happening during Anna?
I mean, it's kind of stupid, really.
No, I like stupid.
What we're going to do is you're going to play an acoustic version of your hit song, Supermodel.
Okay, sure. You ready?
Yep.
We might chime in every once in a while.
Oh, please do. Yes.
Or you're going to chime in.
I insist.
No, Sim,
all right,
come on.
Fine.
Shim Shim, come on. Are you guys ready?
Shim Shim.
Yep.
Here we go. You better work. You don't have to play the music. Work it, girl. Do your thing.
On the runway.
Work. Turn to the left.
Work.
Turn to the right.
Work.
Turn to the left.
Work.
Work it, girl. And cover, girl. Put the bass in your walk.
When do we do the sachet?
Sachet. Chante. Sachet.
Chante.
Turn to the left. No, turn to the right. Sashay. Shante. Work it, girl. Cindy. One thing you need to know about me, I've never been able to remember the lyrics to songs that I've written. I can never remember the words to it. I know Shante, Shante.
Yeah.
I know Work It Girl.
Yeah.
Actually, I was working with Rebecca Romaine on this show called Skin Wars, and she said, you know, I went to iTunes and I looked up your music, and I realized that all of your songs are about working and walking. And that's it. And she's right. It's all about working, walking, the runway.
Uh-huh.
CoverGirl.
Uh-huh.
Take your picture.
Sure.
Now sachet.
Uh-huh.
Shantae. And there you have it.
What does sachet mean? I know what a sachet is, but...
Well, to sachet is a style of walking. It's like when you sort of saunter with verve and vigor. What did you call me? And that's what's the sachet.
Gotcha.
Is. It's a stylized walk. But Shantae...
Yeah.
Is taken from the movie, the documentary Paris is Burning. And what happens in Paris is Burning is someone is walking a ball and the MC says... Shantae. And what that is, they've done a bastardization of enchanté. It's sort of pig French.
Right.
You've heard of pig Latin?
I've heard of pig Latin.
Welcome to pig French. And so they sort of bastardized enchanté and turned it into something, which is brilliant, you know. So is that my torture? Can I take the guitar?
Yes. Oh, yes.
All right. Okay.
Enough torture.
Sim, I might need a 10-1.
Okay, let's do a 5-minute break, and then we have two calls, and then we're done.
10-1, okay.
Just so you know, I haven't read this. I don't know what the... I don't know who...
I'm the only one. I actually spoke to the callers before, so they need our help, and I think...
And also, while we're calling, would you sign that?
Sure.
I'm so sorry.
All right, we're actually calling Jo right now, and she's in Dallas. She's 24 years old.
To Sarah.
Sarah with an H?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. I love you. It's Dave Bautista's wife. I don't know if you know who Dave Bautista is. He's amazing.
I do.
You know everybody.
Oh, I'm just paying attention.
Hey, Joe. It's Sim. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm going to introduce you to Anna right now. Anna, say hi to Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for letting us bug you.
Oh my gosh, no, thank you. This is like a dream come true. I'm one of your biggest fans and I'm counting down for your book to be out.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. I'm terrified.
So it's all good.
And our guest tonight is the most amazing RuPaul.
Oh, that's very sweet.
He's...
oh, my goodness. Hello.
Hi. What's your name again?
It's Joe.
Joe. And where are you in the world?
I'm in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, the Big D. I love that.
Yeah.
Do you guys know that song?
Yeah.
Bad Side of Dallas? Is that what it's called?
I don't know. I don't know.
Now, Joe, do you know Jeannie C. Riley, who did Harper Valley?
I don't. I should know. I'm not a good Dallasite, I guess.
Well, no. She sang the song Harper Valley PTA. That was her big, huge, massive hit. And her follow-up was the Bad Side of Dallas.
Cool. I'm going to look it up, though. That's awesome.
Once I was driving through Dallas, and my cousin and I were driving this 450 SL, 78 450 SL, and the cops in Weatherford pulled us over. They put put my cousin in jail.
No.
And I had on a pair of cutoff shorts and a singlet with a cowboy hat and cowboy boots.
And oh my gosh.
They had to wake up the judge we paid $54 for something and then they let him go. But so many Texas stories.
I want that visual someday.
Joe, something is bothering you about your current relationship. Give us a little bit of background and then Rue and Anna are going to try and help you.
Okay, so just to dive in. I met this girl a few months ago. I actually noticed her in a class and just was automatically attracted to her. And a week or two later, got the guts up to talk to her. And we ended up going out to grab a drink just to celebrate the end of an exam. And it just talked all night and it went really great. And she told me that night that she was still involved with this girl in Germany. She had recently moved back from Germany and they had been together for 4 years. And I told her that night that I was really attracted to her, but didn't really want to cross any lines there or get involved in anything or mess anything up. But we ultimately decided to still be friends because obviously it was the first night we hung out. We hadn't crossed any lines. So we did, and we hung out every day and all day and never crossed any physical boundaries, but definitely got involved more emotionally and just constantly talked about how your feelings evolving, but we couldn't act on those or anything. And she did tell the girl in Germany about me and how she did have feelings, and the girl was planning on coming here for Thanksgiving for a couple weeks, and she decided to still come because they obviously had a lot to talk about and work through and just decide what all this meant for them. And I had said that we shouldn't communicate while she was in town because it just wouldn't be fair to anyone. And I didn't really want to be a factor in anything. And we ended up hooking up the night before she got here. It wasn't intentional or anything, but it happened. And we only made it like a day or two without talking, and talked the whole time. And they ultimately ended up breaking up, but left it open to possibly getting back together and working things out, because she had applied for a visa to work in the States and was waiting to hear about that. And so after she left, we talked for a long time, and she was telling me how she's feeling. And I felt like after a 4-year relationship, you know, you really need time to deal with things and figure out what that means for you. And but ultimately, I decided to just continue things where they were, because I would rather be happy now and sad if it ended than regret and wonder, like, what if I tried something? So that's pretty much it. We continued, and a couple months later, we're together, and I'm really happy with her and really like her, but there's still this part that, you know, that she's still waiting to hear about the visa. And I'm really, it's as big of a deal as it sounds. It's like not, I don't think about it all the time, but it is definitely a factor. So I just don't know if I'm holding on to something that's silly to hold on to because it might end, or if it is one of those things where you just kind of let it go and see what happens. So that's really where I'm at.
Okay, so it sounds like the American, is that even a little specific? Okay,
yeah.
Why am I having trouble thinking of a name? It sounds like Cherie.
You're naming her Cherie.
I'm naming her Cherie.
Wait, that's my name.
is feeling really like responsible for this other person, and is feeling a lot of guilt, which it's stuff that she, in my opinion, shouldn't feel guilty for. It's this other person's responsibility to, I mean, you can't be in a relationship so somebody can get their green card. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, it sounds like you and Cherie have a really good thing going, right?
Yeah.
And she's feeling torn because now she's sort of on the hook, or she feels like she's on the hook for helping this other person get their green card and visa.
But Cherie still hasn't ended it yet completely. Isn't that what you told me, Joe?
It sounds like Cherie may be the weaker partner in general in things. In both relationships. Mm-hmm. And do you think, is that an accurate assessment?
I'm really not sure. I think it's more like in their relationship, the distance obviously was a big deal. And so she was moving here for her. I'm really not sure. I mean, I totally understand that responsibility aspect of it. But I think it was more of just like, she was moving here for her, and now, like, she hasn't lived in the States before. Like, I think she does feel a responsibility to continue to talk to her and stuff and help her out and figure that out. Because, I mean, a 4-year relationship is a long time. I do understand that.
Joe, this is rude talk. And let me tell you something, kiddo. My 10th grade teacher told me the best advice I ever learned the whole time I've been on the planet. And it's this. He said, RuPaul, don't take life too seriously. You kids,
right,
go have fun. Don't worry about it. You know, the whole thing, what I hear from you is that you're trying to do this thing of, oh, is this forever? Or are they forever? Or are we forever? There's no forever. It's just now. Have fun. Enjoy your life as long as you're not hurting anybody else. And the thing is, you can't stop someone else from their feelings being hurt. Now, you're not a mean person. You're not doing anything. Your intention is never coming from a hateful place or a vindictive place. It's a place of love. Trust that. You're a loving person. She's a loving person. The German lady's a sort of loving person. No, I'm joking. And I'm joking. And But no, it's important. Don't take life so seriously, Joe. It's okay.
Right.
Have fun. Have fun. You kids go have fun as long as you don't hurt anybody else. It's simple. But, you know, I was just telling the kid just a minute ago about performance anxiety. And a lot of times we put ourselves in these situations because we love the thrill of the, oh, Mr. Grant, you know, that sort of weirdness. We like that sort of conflama. Conflama is a portmanteau for conflict and drama. And if
I love it, conflama.
Just let the Michigas and the conflama go, Joes. Have fun. Go. You're in Dallas. Go line dancing. Dress up in your Western wear and have fun. Fun, lady, ladykins.
Yeah, and you know, it may be a good, I think along what Rue is, with what Rue was saying, it may be a good strategy to just not put any pressure on Cherie to make any, it's sort of the ball is truly in her court. And if she wants to talk to you about the issues with other stuff, then you can be a good listener. But right now, you guys are having a good time, and ultimately she's going to have to make the decision independently about it's the ball's in her court, and you don't have to force any of these issues right now, you know, I think.
Right.
Right? Do you guys think?
I agree. And, you know, I grew up with all females, and I, as a boy, I had to learn that sex and love are two different things. It's a lot of sex is fun. It's not, doesn't mean you're going to have to get a U-Haul and move in together, you know? You know?
Yeah.
So it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. I think that the less pressure though you put on her to force any decision, it's good that the other person out of the country knows. I think that seems ethical and like the right thing to do, that you guys are hanging out and seeing each other. But I think that you kind of let this take its course. And I wouldn't bring up the topic unless she brings it up, and when she does, I would just be a good listener and tell, you know, and be open with your feelings, and what
right.
and what you want. You know, it sounds like you guys have a really strong relationship, and it seems like you guys
so stay the course for now.
Stay the course, yeah.
Yeah, I just like one thing to add on. Sometimes, like, I feel bad because I feel like she has said, like, after, you know, 4 years, she does want time, but we are, like, pretty much in a relationship. Like, it happened naturally. There's nothing you can do about it. So sometimes, like, I feel that responsibility of that, like, maybe I'm somewhat selfish and not, like, giving her the time, even though it is mutual, if that makes sense.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wait, so giving her the time, I feel a little confused.
Like after a four-year relationship, like she's already in another one. Like when the other one ended, like literally the same day.
Well, as a person who's totally guilty of hopping from one, that's what I've done most of my life. I'm a serial monogamist. So
are you saying that you're a whore?
I wish I was a little bit more of a whore.
Mm-hmm.
I spent too many years being way too self-conscious of my body to be a whore. Anyway, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, well.
But, it's that labia coming back. But, But no, I think that, I don't know. I think that you... Oh God, I love.
Well, no, you were saying that you hopping from one person.
Oh,
to another,
yeah,
that
I don't think that's a problem, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, and trust me, when she moved over here, it was pretty much done.
Yeah.
You know, and she kept her holding on by saying, "Oh, I'm going to get a visa. I'm going to do this." That you know, tomorrow never comes. There's only now. You know, yesterday is gone. It's just live right now, and that's
and it's also not like it, like if. If your partner needs time and space, she'll tell you.
Yeah.
And you don't, it's not on you to give that to her. If she wants to be with you, hell yeah. You know, like have a great time. I don't know. I haven't gotten out of a bad relationship, unless I knew I was getting into something different.
All right, Mr. Jefferson, moving on up. To the east side.
It was a part of my own insecurity. You know, I needed, I loved being in a relationship, and I needed to know, and I tried to make a bad thing work until I finally saw, oh, this thing is better.
Yeah.
So it's out of my own weakness, not feeling like, oh, I can break up with this person and be single for a long time. I was too insecure anyway. But and also it was like. Some people were my cattle prod, like to get out. Like it made sometimes I would meet somebody and it made me realize, oh, this other person is bad for me. Anyway, so don't beat yourself up for that. That's on her plate as well. If she needs space, she'll tell you. And you don't need to feel guilty about any of that. That's her. And I think you guys should just continue to have fun. And I think that you just be a good listener. And also I just wouldn't raise the subject very often.
Joe, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I don't know. I just get from your voice, I feel like this is a good thing. I think this is a good relationship. I like you guys, and I like you guys together.
That's right. And
thank you.
Thanks, Joe. And don't mess with Texas.
Right. And thank you so much. Bye.
Well, so you mentioned a cattle prod. That sounds sexy. Cattle prod.
I needed sometimes. Yeah. I needed like a zap. Like,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
This relationship isn't making me feel good.
Yeah.
I like this thing over here.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Hi, hot stuff.
Yeah. But as a result, though, I didn't spend like any time dating in my life.
Right.
Or, and it was like, because I was so convinced I could make something work.
Mm-hmm.
I was so determined, like between my pride and I was like, no, we're not breaking up.
Mm-hmm.
And also feeling kind of twisted in my head, like, oh yeah. Anyway,
I was
drawn to manipulative people.
Sure, you know they're out there. So we're gonna
get one more call. Yeah, we're gonna call We're gonna call Jackie right now. She's in Seattle.
Oh, I'm sorry though.
And she's 29.
Okay,
you're sorry about what? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
it's all good.
Sorry.
This is actually an interesting situation.
I wonder if she knows you from Seattle.
Hello?
Hey, Jackie, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you, Sam?
Doing really well. Anna's going to introduce our guest to you. First, Anna's going to say hi.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
Guess what? And I want to talk to you about Seattle in a second. But guess what? you are you're here with RuPaul. Who's just incredible. He's so brilliant and handsome,
mm-hmm.
and charming.
I'm actually
and hysterical.
Sitting on the Space Needle right now.
Ow.
Yeah.
Oh, you are?
I am.
You're a topper.
Uh huh.
Spinning around.
Yes. Hey, Jackie. Girl.
I love it that you're from hometown. But,
yeah, actually, I grew up in Edmonds, too.
No way. Did you go to Edmonds Old Way?
No, I went to Matlock Terrace.
Oh, nice. All right. Matlock Terrace. You guys had that great theater I was so jealous of. Because I went to the old school, like, before it was... Anyway, we performed in the cafeteria.
Oh, so you went to Edmonds way before they remodeled.
Yeah. Old school. 94 I graduated. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Wow, that's so funny. Mount Lake Terrace. Okay, cool. Were you in the theater program?
No, I wasn't. I was on the dance team though.
Oh, that's sexy.
The dance
team. Did you guys have football games at Edmonds Woodway High School Field? The new
we
one?
We did, but our football team was not so great.
Well, I bet your dance team was great.
I bet they were.
Okay, well, tell us what's happening.
So, I don't know what Sim has told you guys.
Nothing.
But,
this is actually a really strange situation. Yeah, talk about what's been going on with you.
Yeah, we never, the guest and I never know.
Mm-hmm.
We like to be virgins.
So, so I met this guy a few months ago.
Where?
Bumble app. And we've been talking, you know, ever since, like every single day. But about a week into us chatting on the app, I was like, you know what, you're not crazy, so I'll give you my phone number. And then, you know, normally a guy's like, oh, awesome, I'll text you right away. So he's like, oh, here's my Snapchat. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, do you know how hard guys used to have to work for a phone number before these apps? So I, like, ignored that, and he finally texts me, which is great. The conversation was, like, just as good as before. So I added his phone number to my phone, and it automatically synced with, like, all the social media apps and everything. And so then his profile started coming up, and turns out he's an NFL player. And I was like, okay, am I being catfished? But this is, like, the guy's actual phone number. It's linked to, like, verified account. But when we initially started talking, he told me he was in a branch of the military.
Oh.
No mention of football whatsoever.
So, is he a Seahawk, or do you not know yet?
He's not a Seahawk.
Okay, so this is really weird. Okay, sorry, go on.
Well, what's even weirder is, like, we're still talking every day, and he's never, like, directly mentioned it to me. But I'm like, no, it's him, because, like, we FaceTime, and I've seen him, and he's a real person. So I'm just kind of getting curious, because it's been several months now, almost four, actually.
You haven't met him in person yet, though, right?
Is he not in Seattle?
No, he's not in Seattle.
Okay, yeah, this is a little weird. So you feel a little uncomfortable admitting to him that you know?
Well, yeah, so that's my question, because I want to bring it up, because I feel like, okay, I'm talking to you every day, and there's been moments where he slipped up. Like, I'd be like, oh, what'd you do today? And he's like, oh, I went to practice. And I was like, oh, practice for what?
Why?
And then he, like, would just change the subject.
Do you think that he is keeping this from you because he doesn't want you to he wants you to like him for him?
That's what I thought, but that's still really weird.
It's still really weird because that is a huge part of who he is.
Exactly.
And it's been a few months. And
so that's why I'm, like, curious, like, okay, how do I bring this up to him without making it seem like I'm only talking to him because of this? Like, I'm worried that he's going to find out that we're going to have that conversation, and I'll tell him that, like, I know. But I don't want to make it seem, like, accusatory. Like, why did you keep this from me?
I
feel like there's a reason why he hasn't said anything.
I mean, I think, I don't know. I think you have to say, I want to talk to you about something, and I'm not quite sure how to really broach this subject, but I think that you're a football player, and truly be honest, like, and you know, and kind, and say, and you know, I don't want to be creepy, but
well, and I want to respect his privacy as well, like.
And you also don't want to come across as a gold digger, right?
Whoa, whoa. That's, you know, the other what just thing. Occurred to
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, my God.
I don't want him to think that's, like, why I'm talking to him, because I do really like the guy. And, oh, also, I forgot to mention, like, early on when we were just starting to talk, we talked about, like, oh, what do you do for a living? And he was like, oh, I'm in the military. And I'm like, oh, what do you do? And he's in the military. And he's like, oh, it's confidential. I was like, oh, okay. So then he asked me, like, what do you do for a living? Well, I work for a large online retailer in development, so I can't actually say what I do for a living either. So early on, we just agreed, like, we won't really talk about work because I honestly can't talk about what I do in detail. But I didn't. And then, like, he said that what he does is, quote unquote, confidential. So it's given us an opportunity to talk about every other aspect of our lives, which is great. But now I have this, you know, whole thing about what he really does for a living. So I don't know. I feel like I really want to just kind of get that out in the open.
Wait, a light bulb went off before. You were going to say something.
Because Jackie, I don't know anything about anything because that's why I'm unqualified.
You do. Actually, you do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But I certainly don't know anything about like dating apps and stuff. So, remind me, do you know his real, like his full name?
Yes.
Okay. So he knows that you can research him.
Yeah. Like on Instagram or whatever, right? Can't you follow him as a real person?
Yeah. But I haven't added like any of his social media just because like, I don't know. I feel like
we're not
really like officially together, and I'm worried if I'm on like, you know,
Jackie,
like his Instagram or something. Yes.
Sorry, I don't mean to keep cutting you off. I'm such a cutter-offer.
Okay.
But do you think is there a part of you that thinks that he's in a relationship?
See, that's what I thought, and I tried to like look it up, but there's like I couldn't find anything. So.
Well, use your instinct. Come on, Jackie. I'm going to break it down for you right now. You've been in the charade for a long time. You know, I don't know how old you are, but you get to a certain age in life and you see certain patterns that people have. People aren't really that complicated. If you don't know how old you are, you sound very young. But the truth is, use your female intuition. The reason you're having this call is because you know something is up. And if something was up, you know there are probably only three scenarios that are really up. Choose one. And take it from an old gal, choose the worst one. And that's probably what it is. You know, Anna alluded to one, and that's probably what it is. I mean, you know, the truth is, you know certain things about him, and you can, in this day and age, you can follow everybody. You could see what everybody's doing. You could see what so-and-so had for dinner last night. You can do that this time. Use your intuition.
There's a reason why you haven't asked him to be like your Facebook friend, because somewhere in your gut, you know what I mean? Or like or Instagram, because I think somewhere in your gut, you're afraid that you're going to find what the truth is, which is probably he's hiding this because he's in a relationship. He's either married or has a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. He's probably a girlfriend because you could probably find it pretty easily if he was married. But but listen, I have ignored my gut so many times because I've wanted to believe something else. And I tell you what, it has not served me well.
Mm-mm.
And so I think you sort of confront him. And
how would you confront him? What would you say?
I would say, hey, it's all about timing. If he's had a good day and you're having a nice conversation or whatever, I think I would say, hey, Sean or whatever, I want to bring up something that might be a little bit uncomfortable. I think that you've been a little bit misleading about what you do for a living, and I want to talk to you about it. Would you be open to talking to me about it? And then be quiet. The hardest thing is to be quiet.
See, Anna, that's how you would do it. See, this is how I would do it. I would say, so, what's your name? Point blank. Are you a crossdresser? Are you Jinx Monsoon? Are you Ben de la Creme?
But what if there is that slim chance? Because I think he's, it's a weird thing to hide for this long.
Yes.
It's a weird thing. Mm-hmm. And most guys, I mean, while initially they may be worried to some degree, like about gold diggers or whatever, their ego will get the
exactly.
better of them.
Exactly.
And they'll mm-hmm. be at one point
this
like,
isn't coming
no.
to America.
Right. Is, right. Yeah. I forgot to tell you something.
Right.
Right. So I think that there is a slim chance that he has good reason that he doesn't want to tell you. That's not, I don't know what that would be, but there is a slim chance, and maybe giving him the benefit of the doubt and letting him explain. And in his explanation, that will reveal a lot, because you'll be able to sense if he's lying. You'll be mm-hmm. able to sense what kind of hemming and hawing he does. And, you know, and if he is in a relationship, if that's a sense you're getting, for your own health, I think you have to, you know, you end it.
If that's the scenario that it comes to, I would cut him off right away.
Good.
It's just like, I do like him, and having this conversation, like, I really don't know how to start it. Cause I don't know. I'm like, at this point, he's got to know that I know.
Yeah.
But he's like I said, he slipped up a few times and just like avoided the subject. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, honey, God. Maybe God is trying to
Jackie,
tell you
we got to have a follow up with this.
Yeah. No, Jackie, when do you think you're going to talk to him? Not to put any pressure on you.
I think I'm going to wait till after the football season's over.
So he's still...
And, yeah.
Okay, continue.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that'll be a good timeline once the season's over.
Yeah. That's smart. That's smart. Oh, gosh, please keep us posted because I'm dying. Why? Why is he lying?
Sam was dying a little bit too when we first talked about it.
Oh my God. Well, this is such a mystery, because truly, why?
I was really trying to get it out of her, just to tell me, and I promise I wouldn't tell anyone, but she wouldn't. But
that's probably wise, Jackie, because I know how to get secrets out of Sim, sort of. I'm also I'm a terrible secret keeper, so don't tell me any secrets. But I would really love to have a follow up and just sort of how you ended up approaching it. I would be gentle though. I wouldn't be because I think who knows? I mean, I think there's an 80% chance that you know he's in a relationship, but there's a 20% chance that he's.
A cross-dresser.
He's but you know.
I don't know about that. I mean, I feel like I have pretty good gaydar living in Seattle.
Yeah, but listen, so. Jackie, I'm going to break it down for you again. It sounds like you have this scenario, this sort of fairy tale scenario of you don't want to break that fantasy. And the truth is, you get mm-hmm. to a certain point in your life and ain't nobody got time for games. You want a real man who's sitting up in your house. Nobody talking on the phone, NFL, JFK, LAX. You want some real D, honey. So, you know, ain't
real
no playing
D.
around. Give me some real D. So, you know, whatever. You know, ain't nobody got time. I don't know how old you are, but you sound very young. You get to a certain point in life and you go, I don't have time for this. You know?
And she's successful, Jackie. You could probably have any man you wanted.
She sure could.
And I think when football season's over, ask him about it and in a gentle way, and make sure to not get too wordy with it. The temptation out of awkwardness will be for you to ramble on, like I always do. Mm-hmm. But I think. Say gently approach it, say that you know, and then let him put the ball in his court. And
ooh,
let
balls. Did you say balls?
Balls.
Okay.
Balls.
Thank
Jackie,
you so much, Jackie.
Thank you.
I'm definitely following
yes,
up with you after
so
the football
exciting.
Season.
Okay, please do.
We love you, Jackie.
love you too, Anna.
I also forgot to tell Joe that I love her. I love you too, Joe. She was at the caller we called before.
But that goes without saying. You know, Joe knows you love her.
Yeah. I love everybody.
Bye, Jackie.
And bye, guys.
Bye. I do have a lot of love.
Well, you know, love begats love. Is that how you say that? Begats? Love begats love. So now we're going to wrap up this show because you're going to do
our show. Yes.
And we got lots to talk about with you.
I love it.
I love that Rue just wrapped it up. He didn't do my famous wrap up. Yeah.
Trust me. If it was my show, I would have wrapped both those calls up about 5 minutes in. You know, these girls, listen, you know what girls are like. We have a room full of girls.
everybody's into this fantasy of, oh, I mean, God, he said something to me and I love him and I think he loves me. And it's like, you know what, bitch? You know what? Chill out. Get real with yourself. Don't go with the fairy tale. I grew up with all girls. I had to unlearn this myself. I thought sex and love were the same thing. I learned later in a bathhouse in Macon, Georgia, that...
I love the Macon, Georgia bathhouse.
Sex and love are two separate things. That's how men think about it. Women do not think that way. Some women. Well, Michelle Visage is different from that. But you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm just keeping it real.
I do. Oh, yeah.
I'm real.
I can't.
You can't what?
Separate.
Sex and love.
Yep.
When I've ever have tried to do the other, I lost interest or I sobered up really fast. And I think, who the hell are you? Why am I here? You know what I mean? So I've never been I've never been really successful at the whole one night stand thing. But I have to have a connection to the person, you know, to be able to, you know, do that thing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I want to talk to you more about this on yours. But wait, before we wrap this up, we have to do the famous fuck you, Sim. Every episode, we say fuck you, Sim.
Okay.
And you can say it with love or passion.
Oh, sure.
Or hatred or whatever you want to say, however you want to say
it. Oh, I can't wait.
Okay, on the count of three, okay?
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
Fuck you, Sim.
That was great.
Thank you. I meant it, actually. Yeah, it was good.
That was so growly. Yeah.
Follow us on Unqualified on all of our social media. Please subscribe on iTunes. Thank you so much.
Good
night.
We love you.